أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين. ربي وفقني وسائر المشتغلين للعلم والعمل الصالح بحق محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Yesterday we finished on issue 315, and now today we start with issue number 316, and still we are with the issues of evolution and how we can take care about evolution and the problems that happen with the issue of evolution. Okay. Issue number 316. It is not necessary for a person suffering from continued incontinence to pray immediately. So it is not necessary for this person who suffers from incontinence to pray immediately after wudu, although it is better that he should be quick in offering prayers. So in this case, person should see that his situation, if it is possible to him to pray directly or to be late. Why? Because Sayyid Sistani said it is not necessary for him to pray immediately. Why? Because he already has his situation that he is, what we call it, sick with continued incontinence. Okay, so but it is better for him to pray immediately. Sayyid Sistani said, but it is better for him to be quick in offering a prayer. Okay, so in this case, now we have this issue number 316. I think it is clear with this person who has sick or who has such disease. All right. Okay. Issue number 317. It is permissible for a person suffering incontinence to touch the secret of the Quran. It is what? It is permissible to touch the script of Quran after wudu, even if he is not in the state of salah. Again, it is permissible for a person suffering incontinence to touch the script of Quran. It doesn't matter. But this case, touching the script of Quran should be what? After wudu, even if he is not in the state of salah. But he should do what? He should do ablution. Make wudu. Then he is allowed to touch the secret of Quran, even if he is not one. Even if he is not in situation of salah, in the state of salah. Issue number 318. A person who cannot control urine should use a bag filled with cotton or some similar device to protect himself. Here Sayyid Sistani shows us how to protect, it means it is necessary for this person to protect himself in order not to let the urine, the excretion, to be scattered in the body, to touch other parts of the body. So a person who cannot control urine should use a bag filled with cotton or some similar device to protect himself and to prevent urine from reaching other places of the body, definitely. And the obligatory precaution is that before every salah, he should wash the outlet of urine which has become najis. He should what? As obligatory precaution. You know, it is obligatory precaution if he has to follow the vertical of Sayyid Sistani, or he should follow another jurist, but he should follow the A'lam fal A'lam, the more learned and the more learned after him. So he should wash the outlet of urine which has become najis, which has become najis. Moreover, a person who cannot control excretion should, if possible, prevent it from what? Reaching other parts. It means to keep himself, or the excretion should be in one place, not to scatter it or separate it to other parts of the body, at least during the time required for salah, specifically for the time when he performing salah. And the obligatory precaution is that if no hardship is involved, he should wash the anus for every prayer. If it is possible for him to wash his anus for every prayer, that is all. That is all if urine is going out from the dress. Yes, exactly. So it means in all cases that person, he should protect himself from being najis by urine or excretion, and if it is possible without any hardship, to wash the anus for every prayers. But if there is any from a pipe, it's okay. He has to wash it. You mean by the pipe which is connected to the penis itself, or the pipe from the kidney? Okay. So if that pipe connected to the bladder, so the urine shouldn't touch the body. The urine shouldn't touch the body, and we don't need to wash the pipe or something like that. Exactly. So we don't need to wash it. What we need to wash, Mr. Ali, it is the parts of the body that contact what? That contact najasa, that contact urine, or excretion. No, Sayyid Sistani, he said, for this, is he going to need wudu as well? No, he doesn't need to make wudu. He said, we're talking with people who suffering from continual incontinence. People who suffers from what? Continual incontinence. These people, they should perform wudu once. That's it. And if the urine or excretion gets out, if it is possible to wash the outlet, that's okay. Without what? Without a hardship. But if there is a hardship involved, he shouldn't wash it. But does he need another wudu? No, he doesn't need another wudu. Okay. Issue number 319. A person who suffers from incontinence should, if possible, try to restrain himself at least for the duration of Salah. If it is possible for this person who suffers from incontinence, if it is possible to restrain himself, try to restrain himself at least for the duration of Salah, to preventing himself from letting the urine or the excretion to be out. If it is possible, says Stan said, if it is possible, even if may be difficult. Look, sometimes be difficult, I know it is difficult, but if he can, even if may be difficult, in fact, if his ailment can be treated easily, if his sickness can be what? Can be treated easily, he should get the necessary treatment. So, in this case, he has to get the treatment. He should. It is a word of verdict. He should get treatment. It is necessary. He should get the necessary treatment. Yes, it is fatwa. It is fatwa. Exactly. Look at the word. He should. Look, if you can put two lines under the word should. Yes. Issue 320. If a person who suffered incontinence recovers from the ailment, it is not necessary for him to repeat those prayers which he offered according to his religious duty. This person, he recovered from what? From his ailment, which is that incontinence. Now, should he repeat all what he had done from his prayers? No, absolutely. Why? Because he was doing his religious duty. He was doing what the jurist asked him to do, and he followed the jurist. So when he followed the jurist, he doesn't need to repeat again unless the jurist told him, and the jurist didn't tell him to repeat what? To repeat his prayers. Okay? So, if a person who suffered incontinence recovers from the ailment, it is not necessary for him to repeat those prayers which he ever offered according to his religious duty during the period of his ailment. However, if he recovers during Salah, now, how about if he recovers during Salah, what shall he do? He should repeat that prayers. He should repeat that prayers only as an obligatory precaution. Only that prayers which he recovered through, okay, he should repeat it. But he is not going, he shouldn't repeat the old, what? The old prayers which he did according to the what? To the religious duty, to his religious duty. Yes. Issue number 321. If a person suffers from an incontinence which renders him unable to control passing the wind, if a person suffers from an incontinence which renders him unable to control passing the wind, he will act according to the rules applicable. Namaz is also a Turkish word. So for that, I change it with Salat. Okay. Yes, thank you. It is much better. But you know, I'm trying to find the original Arabic for this book. The original Arabic. It seems there is no Arabic copy for this. It is only in Persian and in English. what it is in my mind, I'll tell you, it is to put the verdict in English and in Arabic after it, in order to be easier for the Arabic or for the Arab students when they try to study English. This is the project what I'm looking for. I did it with Aqa'id, inshallah. We're working on, I already finished the book, but still we need to read it again, and we then sent it to the print it. Okay. Now, issue number 321. If a person suffers from an incontinence which renders him unable to control passing the wind. So the same thing what he had done with incontinence, okay, he should do with the same situation if he cannot control passing the wind. The same thing. He has to check if he has what? If he has a time, for example, to be out of this situation. He doesn't have, or he has time, he doesn't have passing the wind. Okay, he should make wudu, ablution, and pray at that time. Okay, and he has to act according to the steps above. Okay, he will act according to the rules applicable to the incontinent persons described in the foregoing. Okay, now we came to a new topic, that this topic is things for which the ablution is obligatory. Why we should make ablution? What's for? Or why we have to make ablution? Issue number 322. Yes, it is obligatory to perform wudu. It is obligatory to perform wudu for the following six things. Six things that Muslim should what? Should make. Okay. Why we make ablution? It means things for of which, not for which. Okay, yes, all right. Now, things for which the ablution is obligatory. Things of which, no, for which. It means why we should make ablution. What's for? Things for which the ablution is obligatory. You mean to put things of which? No. Things of which the ablution is obligatory? I'll give you I explain it to you. If you just give me a second. Things why we do ablution. Okay. Why we do ablution? What is the reason this ablution is what? It is obligatory. Sometimes I do ablution, but it's not obligatory. It is recommended. It is recommended. Okay? But now, why should I have to do ablution? So now it is still, you insist that there is error in grammar. For here, for things to which the ablution is obligatory. Things for which the ablution. Okay, I'll check it, inshallah. And thank you. So, it is obligatory to perform wudu for the following six things. You see, for the following six things. Number one, for all obligatory prayers. For all obligatory prayers, except Salat al-Mayyit. Except Salat al-Mayyit. Because we maybe will mention that, or we will mention that later on, Salat al-Mayyit, we will not consider it is just like a prayer. It is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is dua. So, for all obligatory prayers, we should perform wudu, except Salat al-Mayyit, as regards mustahab prayers. As regards mustahab prayers. Also, mustahab prayers should be what? Should be on wudu. Should be on wudu. We should perform wudu before mustahab prayers. Wudu is a condition for their validity. Wudu is a condition for their validity. The mustahab prayers. This is number one. Number two, for the sajda and tashahud, which a person forgot to perform during the prayers. So sometimes person forgot to do tashahud or sajda, one sajda, not two sajdas, but one sajda. He forgot to perform this, so he has to do what? He has to bring it after salah. In this case, he needs to be on wudu. He needs wudu. It is obligatory. It is just like how he performed the prayer. He should with wudu, he should make wudu and perform the forgot things, just like tashahud and sajda, provided that he invalidated his wudu after salah, and before performing those forgotten acts. So it is not obligatory. Now, so it is not obligatory to perform wudu for sajdat al-sahu. Sajdat al-sahu, it means everything which you add more in prayers, or you didn't do it in prayers, you will make what after prayers, after you do that thing. If you didn't do it, just like tashahud, wasati, just like qunut, one sajda, okay? When you do these things that you forgotten, you should what? You should bring sajdatil sahu or sajdatay sahu. So, for sajdatay sahu, you don't need what? You don't need to, it is not obligatory to perform wudu. It is not obligatory to perform wudu. Okay. For the obligatory tawaf of the holy Kaaba, yes, even for qunut. Even for qunut, if you forget qunut, you have to do what? You have to say qunut after prayers, then you have to do what? The sajdatay sahu, the two sajdatay sahu. Alright. For the obligatory tawaf of the holy Kaaba, which is not obligatory. Al-Qunut, it is not obligatory. Yes, it is not obligatory. But if you forget it and you remember it after prayers, you should do it. You should do it, and you should what? You should make sajdatay sahu. No, it won't make your prayers invalid. But you don't make tashahud, qunut in purpose, but it won't make your prayers invalid. It won't make your prayers invalid. But what I know, if you forget it, you have to do it after prayers. You have to do it after prayers. Just a second. Okay, as I told you, Mr. Ali, as I told you, that it won't make your prayers invalid. Your prayers is correct, and it's valid, okay? But if you remember it, if you forget it and you remember it, you have to say it after Salah, and you have to bring what, and you have to make the sajdatay as-sahu. You have to say the sajdatay as-sahu. Okay? Alright. I know. You left it on purpose. I know. Your prayers is what? In order. Your prayers is on order. And it is valid. Okay? Doesn't matter. Okay? Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين